Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Bert and Ernie. Woody and Buzz. Thelma and Louise. C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. George Burns and Jack Benny. Frodo and Sam. Bill and Ted. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. C-3PO and R2-D2. Whether from fiction or history, from books or movies, from creative minds or real life, there is something special about friendships. We all have them. Sometimes there are people we've known our entire lives. Sometimes there are people we've just met, but we hit it off with them right away. Sometimes there are people we used to be friends with, but we've lost touch with them over the years. However it happens, we all know that friends are important. And for kids, it's easy to make a new friend. If you're playing at the park, and another kid happens to be there and you play together, you say, I made a new friend.
Like at the park we went to, Rose,
right? Even if you don't see that kid ever again. For adults, though, it's a little more complicated. We tend to be a little more selective when it comes to our friends. We need something deeper than just swinging on the monkey bars together. Like, you might share plenty of interests with your Facebook friends, but you know they're not really your friends. They won't help you move, or let you borrow their lawnmower, or drive you to the airport. You won't sit down and pour out your problems to them. So what makes a true friend? Well, they don't just share their interests, they also share important information. Right? They confide in each other. They trust each other. In the first century world of the New Testament, this type of honesty was called frank speech, as opposed to flattery. Right? Friends tell each other things. Honest things. Truthful things. Intimate things. They don't just stroke each other's egos. Well, in today's gospel reading, Jesus said to his disciples, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Now let's think about that for a moment. These guys have been following Jesus for a while now, but here, Jesus changes their relationship. He tells them that they are his friends, which is quite different than being a servant. What it means is that Jesus is making their relationship closer, more intimate. He's sharing important information with them. He trusts them. All right, for example, think about how you relate to the waiter, or the garbage collector, or the mail carrier. You expect them to do some service for you, but you probably don't even know their names, let alone the fact that you've probably never had a deep conversation with them. Compare that to how you relate to your friends. You know their names and you know their problems. You give them a listening ear and they give one to you. You trust each other. You have frank speech together. Jesus is calling his disciples friends instead of servants. He's saying that he's willing to open up with them. But that does not mean that they are equal to Jesus. Right? When we think of friends, we tend to think of two equals, two partners. That's not the case here. Back in chapter 13, Jesus told them, "You call me teacher and Lord, And you are right, for that is what I am. Right? Jesus is still their teacher and Lord, and they are still his disciples. There is still an imbalance of power here. They and we will never be equal to Jesus. But Jesus is willing to do this frank speech with them now. In particular, he's willing to talk to them about his upcoming death and resurrection. He wants them to know this important information. But is trusting these disciples really such a smart thing for him to do? Is being intimate with them such a good idea? I mean, shouldn't Jesus be a little more selective when he picks his friends? This scene here comes during their last night together. Jesus has washed their feet. He predicted Peter's denial and Judas's betrayal. He told them he's going to die. And now he calls them friends. These guys do not sound like the most trustworthy bunch. One's about to betray him, one's about to deny him, and all the rest are going to run away and hide. They are broken, insecure, selfish people. As are we. There's a line I heard once that said, Jesus trusts us to be the church. But has he seen us? Does he know how messed up we are? Maybe none of us will ever hand Jesus over to the authorities. But we do still deny. We still pretend like he's not important to us. We get pressure from the outside, like Peter did when he was standing by that fire. And we don't want to be seen as some religious freak, so we don't speak up for Jesus. It's just safer for us that way. Or maybe when things get hard in the world, we just want to run away and hide instead of staying at the foot of the cross. We turn the TV off because we can't handle any more bad news. We are broken, insecure, selfish people too. We look out only for ourselves and our own comfort. We are not the most trustworthy people. But Jesus still calls those disciples friends. And he still calls us friends. Jesus calls you his friend. Well, that means either that Jesus is just really desperate to have friends, or he understands friendship differently than we do. Right, typically, when we think of someone being our friend, we wonder if that person is worthy for us to spend our time and energy on. So, of course, we would say Jesus is our friend. Right, there's even that old song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But Jesus isn't just your friend. You are also his friend. This is where Jesus sees friendship differently than we do. Because it's not about if the other person is worthy enough to be in your life. No, having someone as your friend is based upon the love you show them. It's about you choosing to love them, not their worthiness of that love. In other words, none of us are worthy enough to be close to God incarnate. But our friendship with him is based on him, not on us. He still loves us and chooses us. As he said to those first disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Think about how wonderful that is. Jesus could have chosen people who were more powerful and influential. He could have chosen people who were more well-respected in the community. He could have chosen those who had a name for themselves. But he picked these guys. Fishermen, tax collectors, blue-collar guys, people nobody had ever heard of before. In the same way, Jesus picks you. Maybe you don't feel like you have a lot of friends in life. Maybe you can't remember the last time you made a new friend. Maybe you've lost touch with all the people who used to be your friends, and you're hesitant to make new ones because you know you'll just lose them too. But whatever the case may be, Jesus still chooses you to be his friend. Other people in the world might say you have to be worthy enough or special enough to be their friend. But Jesus says that doesn't matter. Yes, he knows you're not perfect. He knows you're a little weird. He knows you can be selfish at times. But Jesus still picks you. That means that you are no longer the last one picked for the team. You are no longer sitting at the loser table. You are no longer ignored by others. You are chosen by Jesus. Think about the vine and the branches metaphor we heard last week, which actually comes right before this reading. Jesus basically told his disciples that he, as the vine, grew them as the branches on purpose. Same thing for you. Jesus has chosen you, called you, and grown you on purpose and for a purpose. Not only that, but he has laid down his life for you. No one has greater love than this, Jesus said, to lay down one's life for one's friend. According to Christian scholar Gail O'Day from Baylor University, in the first century, it was common for people to talk about laying down one's life as the ideal for friendship. But as O'Day said, what distinguishes Jesus' words from this ideal was not their content, but the fact that Jesus did not merely talk about laying down his life for his friends. Jesus enacted the ancient ideal of friendship. He actually did lay down his life for his friends. A few weeks ago, we heard about how Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand runs away, very much like a fair weather friend. But Jesus is a true friend. The one who sticks by your side and who dies for you. Now, very rarely today do we show that kind of love to others. Very rarely do we give ourselves up like that for someone else. Very rarely do we lay down our lives for someone else. But sometimes, we do see that kind of sacrificial love. For example, today is Mother's Day. And good mothers do exactly what Jesus talked about here. Even if they don't physically die for the sake of their kids, good mothers know all about sacrifice and love. Even though their kids are broken and insecure and selfish, even though their kids think only of their own well-being and comfort, even if their kids are not popular or well-known, good mothers still choose to be there for them. They still choose to be honest with their kids. They still choose to love their kids. So to all of you moms who know how hard it is to lead your kids, to you who know the sacrifices it takes, to you who love your kids even when they drive you nuts, thank you for showing Jesus' love. Thank you for being a great example of what Christian friendship really is. But whether you are a mother or not, whether you are a woman or a man, whether you have a lot of friends or very few, there is still one who trusts you, who has chosen you, who has sacrificed for you, and who loves you to death and back. Jesus. Some friendships are famous, some are fictional, some fade over time. But Jesus will always be your Savior. And you will always be his friend. That is a friendship that will last forever. In the name of the one who calls us friend, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.